Good morning, Bethel. This is Brad. I was supposed to fill in for Pastor Ben this morning on Valentine's Day 2021. As you know, we've canceled our services because of the incoming weather, the potential for bad weather, the temperatures, and also Pastor Ben has been quarantined because of COVID, and there's others in our church that are sick also. So we're just going to do this message electronically this morning. And we're going to be looking at the subject of the second great catch that comes out of John chapter 21, 1 through 14. This is a miracle that Jesus performed. He performed many miracles while he was on the earth. This is one of the miracles that he performed after he rose from the grave. And so just way of introduction and also setting the scene, the earthly ministry of Jesus has completed. He has been crucified, he's risen from the dead, and this is one of the appearances that he makes to his disciples along the sea. I'm dressed up in my fishing gear today because we're going to be looking at this miracle of the great catch. And hopefully, gentlemen, by now you've surprised your significant other, your wife, your girlfriend. It is Valentine's Day. I hope I'm not catching you by surprise and you haven't done anything yet. If not, it may be difficult at this late hour to get things together for your honey, but hopefully you have. I hope you are doing well, 14 individually and as a church together. John chapter 21, 1 through 14, presented individually and as a church together. John chapter 21, 1 through 14, presents the idea of the second great catch. If you've got your Bibles, you can open up to John chapter 21. I'm going to read that, and then we'll get into our message time for this morning. John chapter 21, 1 through 14. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way he showed himself: Simon, Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. And Simon Peter said to them, and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to the land, full to ask him, "Who are you?" Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" Knowing that it was the Lord, Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. John chapter 21, 1 through 14 presents the idea of the second great catch. The first point in the message this morning is going to be the idea that what we are looking for is often closer than we assume. If you look back in verse 3 of chapter 21, the Bible says this: Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." And they said to him, "We are going with you also." They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Verse 3 starts off with this idea that there was a decision made. The first part of verse 3 shows Simon Peter making this decision to go fishing. There's a lot of discussion about whether or not this was right or wrong. The people that said it was okay for Peter to be back fishing, maybe they had the idea that he needed to get back to work, he needed to make a living. And the flip side of that is maybe Peter had been called from this kind of work, this kind of fishing as a fisherman, to fishing for men. Good or bad, I tend to kind of lean towards that they probably should not have been fishing at this time. Whether it was good or bad, there was a decision that was made by Peter to go and fish. The second thing you see here in verse 3, the second part of verse 3, is that there were others that followed. If you look back in verse 3, the Bible says that Peter said, I'm going to go fishing. And then immediately the ones that were with him said, we are going with you also. Peter made a decision to go fishing, and then others followed. Verse 2 identifies seven total of these people that were in the boat, these disciples that were in the boat. Several of these, it's worth noting, were fishermen by trade. So we have this decision by Peter to go fishing, and then we have seven of the disciples that are with him, all total of seven, in a boat. They all decide to go fishing, and many of them in the boat were fishermen by trade. If you look at the end of verse 3, we see that they were diligent, but unsuccessful. Look in verse 3 really briefly. Verse 3 says this at the end. They went out, they immediately got into the boat. That night they caught nothing. It's easy to navigate in verse 3 towards the negative here in their lack of success. But there is a manly ruggedness displayed here in this verse. A tenacity of these men, these fishermen, that without it, strong character is rarely achieved. This is the type of raw materials that people we look up to and admire are made from. All night, the scripture says that these men fished without success. Apparently on the left side of the boat. I'm not sure if that was tradition or what. But the scripture says that they fished all night without success. And if it's easy for us to kind of think of the negative, maybe they weren't supposed to be fishing, and that's why they didn't have success. But you have to admire the ruggedness of these men, their tenacity to stay fishing all night, even though they didn't catch anything. I'm reminded of a trip that me and Gary Moore Sr. went on recently, where we literally fished for 2 days straight for bass, and never caught a single fish. That kind of tenacity is what you see in these men. And even though it would be easy for us to kind of navigate towards the negative in this first part of this message, I want to encourage us today that you and I, we need this kind of tenacity in you and I's life if we're going to build strong character as a follower of Christ. These guys didn't give up. They stayed with it all night. And even though they didn't catch anything, they had the tenacity to stay at course. The first point that we want to make today in this message of the second great catch is that what we are looking for is often closer than what we assume. Many of us in life have gone through difficult times of trial, difficulty, or challenges in life. And it seems like in the middle of those difficulties or challenges, it seems like what we want in that is so far away, but generally, what we're looking for is often much closer than we assume. The scripture doesn't say that the lake got empty to fish, that there wasn't any fish in the fish were under the boat the entire night. They were very close. What they were looking for, what these fishermen were looking for, were close, but they couldn't catch them because they were fishing on the wrong side of the boat. You know, in life, a lot of times during trial or difficulty, what we really are striving for is much closer than what we would assume. And morning is always coming. I don't know where you're at today as an individual. Maybe you're out here listening this morning and you don't have a relationship with God and you think God is far off. I want to encourage you this morning that what you're looking for is much closer than what you might assume. Maybe you're a Christian out here today and you're going through struggle and you don't see any end to that difficulty or pain or that toil. I want to encourage you this morning that what you're looking for comes this performed, involves this toil of the disciples, but out of it comes this performed, involves this toil of the disciples, but out of it comes this principle that what we are looking for is often closer than what we assume. They did have tenacity, they stayed with it, and what they were looking for was right next to them all along. I'm not sure what they were looking for here. It's hard to kind of distinguish from the scriptures here what they were doing. There were many times in Jesus' ministry that he had getaways. He would take his disciples away for a brief part. This may have been what they were trying to do that morning when they went back to go fishing. Maybe they were trying to get away. They might have been using this time as self-medication. You know, Jesus had just been crucified. He had risen from the dead. They're still in a haze of confusion. So maybe they went back to fishing as something that they enjoyed. Maybe it was work. You know, maybe they just went back. Maybe they needed to work to get money. Maybe they were fishing that night to provide for themselves. Maybe they were looking for peace. I'm sure that sometime throughout the night, Jesus got brought up. These were seven of Jesus' closest disciples. And surely peace was part of the process, potentially, of them being out on the boat that day. Maybe it was friendship. You know, these guys had hung out for several years close together. Fishing was something they knew about. Maybe they were searching that day for friendship on that boat overnight. It's tragic in life, but there is tenacity developed in the toil. There's perseverance in the pain, and there are lessons learned in the long nights of life. I want to encourage you out there today, no matter what situation you're in life, what oftentimes we're looking for is much closer than we assume. Point number one. Point number two. We're going to have to get into verse two to get down to point number two, but point number two is we should never be afraid to adjust our strategies. Look at verse 4 with me together this morning. Verse 4 says, "But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus." We should never be afraid to adjust our strategies. The first point of this is that the resurrected and victorious Jesus appeared in the morning. No matter how difficult the night is, Jesus appeared to the disciples that next morning. So you may be going through a difficult time right now in your life. I want to encourage you. It will end eventually. There is going to be a morning to that situation that you're going through. And in this particular situation in John chapter 21, the morning included a visit from Jesus who had recently resurrected, victorious over death and sin. Secondly, there was a question asked expecting a negative response. Look at verse 5 really briefly. This is the question that expected a negative response. Look at the way Jesus asked this question. "Then Jesus said to them, 'Children, have you any food?'" He already knew that they didn't have it. So this question was asked expecting a negative response. I don't view this as kind of a backhand from Jesus to the disciples as much as a question that was expecting a negative response. Obviously, he knew that they hadn't caught anything, but he forced the disciples to give a response to the question of whether or not they had done any good the night before on their own. They had not. The scripture says that they answered. Verse 6 says this. And the end of verse 5 says that they answered him no. It was a very abrupt answer. And then verse 6 says, "He said to them, 'Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some.' So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish." The last point in this second section is that instructions were spoken expecting a positive outcome. If you look back at verse 6, he told them to cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So the first question was expecting a negative response. The instructions that were spoken, they expected a positive outcome. Now, I want to be careful here in this idea that we should never be afraid to adjust our strategies, that we aren't promoting something that isn't in the scriptures. Being afraid to adjust our strategies and constantly changing without clear direction are two different things. There are long periods of struggle in this life. It's common in life to go through long periods of struggle. And when you're in the middle of the toil, we must remind ourselves that while we long, what we long for is much closer than what we assume. As far as these group of fishermen, I believe this is a lesson here for us also as a group, also as a church. The guiding factor in strategy adjustments needs to be the nets, not the long night of toil. When we go to begin to adjust potentially our strategy, either as an individual, as a group, or even as our church, the guiding factor in strategy adjustments needs to be on the net, not on the long night of toil. Are the nets empty? Are there people getting saved? Are lives being transformed? If not, it may be time to cast the nets on the other side. There are two important lessons here in this second point that I'm making out of John chapter 21. The first one is, don't be eager to change strategy, but also don't be afraid of a change in strategy. We need to be careful not to be eager when we change strategies, but we also have to be careful not to be afraid of changing strategies. Once again, the guiding factor in our adjustment as disciples needs to be the nets, not whether or not we're going through a difficult time in life. Point number two is a good point for us to remind ourselves that we should never be afraid to adjust our strategies. Sometimes in life, we need to. There is a rut for wheels, and there's also a rut for our hearts. And if we're not careful as disciples, sometimes we can get in a rut as a disciple of strategy, and we need to adjust our strategy sometimes because the net is not being effective. We're not catching people. We're not seeing lives transformed. That may be a time where we adjust our strategy, but we do need to be careful of just constantly changing our strategy because we're in the middle of difficulty. The fishermen had the tenacity to stay with it all night before the strategy was adjusted. And there could be good reason in you and I's life right now while we're going through a season of toil. May be time to change strategy. It may not be time to change strategy. But we certainly can see we don't need to be afraid to adjust our strategies here. The last point for this morning's message is going to come out of the last few verses of this section. Point number three. When we submit and don't resent, Jesus can do a miracle in our lives. When we submit and don't resent, Jesus can do a miracle in our lives. Look at verse 6. The Bible says, and he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Once again, it's easy for us to kind of go to the negative on this miracle, that they had toiled all night, not caught anything. But I want to encourage us today, their reaction speaks volumes to the character of these men. Look at how they responded when someone asked them to change strategies. Look back in verse 6. Jesus said, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So they cast. And now they were not able to draw it. I mean, these were all, many of them, I won't say all of them, many of them were fishermen by trade. They had fished all night. They knew this sea well. They had fished in it most of their career. And yet, as soon as someone asks them for the potential to change in strategy, you don't see any resentment from the disciples on an adjustment of strategy here. I think it speaks volumes to the character of these men. They were willing to make an adjustment in strategy, even though this was their trade. Look at verse 7. Secondly, we see Peter's reaction speaks volumes to his past regrets and his future potential. After they threw the net on the other side, the Bible says that this multitude of fish got in the net. Verse 7, therefore the disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment and plunged into the sea. It's just a few days earlier, the scripture says that Peter was the one out of the, just a few moments, just a few days earlier, the scripture says that Peter was the one out of the 12 that denied Christ after the chicken crowed three times. After that, he denied Christ. This was the disciple that said, I would never do that. I would rather die than deny you. And now we see, after his death, burial, and resurrection, we see Peter, after that difficult time of failure, as soon as he recognizes that it was Jesus on the shore, the Bible says that he jumped out of the boat and swam to shore. I think it speaks volumes to his past regrets and, more importantly, to Peter's future potential. Listen, no matter what happens in life, no matter the mistakes that we make in life, there's always potential for God to continue to use us in life. And boy, did God use Peter mightily after this failure in Peter's life of denying Christ. I think this was the start of the process of healing in Peter's life. This jumping out of the boat to go back to Jesus. The end of chapter 21 in John is the restoration of Peter with Jesus. But I think Peter's reaction is like Peter. He was always kind of rambunctious of the 12, always saying stuff maybe that probably shouldn't do, always the one willing to kind of get out in front. And here we see his reaction of jumping out of the boat. I think it speaks volumes, not only to the regret that he just suffered a few days earlier when he denied Christ, but also his future potential. And thirdly, Jesus again invites these men to let him manage them. We're not going to take the time, but back in Luke chapter 5, the scripture talks about the early calling of these disciples. And there's a word that's used in that early calling of the disciples away from what they were doing for a living in order to follow him and be trained. And that word was for them to come to him. And he talks about them becoming fishermen of men. Look in verse 12 of chapter 21. The scripture says this. Simon Peter went up, this is verse 11, dragged the net to the land full of fish, full of these large fish. The Bible even records the number of the fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Then in verse 12, look what it says. Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to him and likewise the fish. Look at the response that Jesus gives to the disciples early a part of verse 12. He asks them once again to come and eat breakfast. This is an invitation to the disciples. It's also an invitation for you and I today to come to him. It's again an invitation for these men to let him manage them. And boy, doesn't he do a better job of managing life for us than we do of ourselves. All night, these men fought in the toil of life in that boat trying to catch something, and it was very close to them the whole time. As soon as they let Jesus manage them, success came. I don't know what took place after Jesus died, but I'm sure there was difficulty, some confusion, and I want to encourage us today that Jesus is inviting us on a daily basis to come and let him manage us again. These men would have missed the catch had they resented the instructions or had been unwilling to change strategies or if they had given up in the toil of the night. Don't let your boat get in the way of the catch. Don't let your times of failure become an inescapable rut. Don't let sin keep you from repentance. Don't let a lack of prayer keep you from praying today. Don't let selfishness keep you from being thankful today. Don't let weariness keep you from the task at hand today. And don't let the night extend into the day. Some of us may have toiled long enough, and it's time to cast our nets on the other side of the boat. We don't stop fishing, but a net check may result in a strategy adjustment. There are three main statements that I want to get with us this morning in closing. John chapter 21, I believe, presents several ideas. Some of them I didn't cover this morning in this message because we only have a limited amount of time, but I think these three are worth remembering. What we're looking for, if maybe you're searching, maybe you're a dedicated disciple, maybe you're going through, maybe you're going through time of struggle, maybe you're going through a time of great joy right now. Whatever you're searching for, most of the time is much closer than what we would assume. If you're going through a difficult time, morning is coming. Secondly, we should never be afraid to change our strategies. But the net needs to be the main factor on whether or not we adjust strategy, not the long night of toil. Don't be eager to change strategy, but also don't be afraid of a change of strategies. And lastly, we looked at this idea that when we submit and we don't resent, Jesus can do a miracle in our lives. We looked at the response that the disciples gave to Jesus when he asked them to fish on the other side. There was no resentment. It was simply just an adjustment in course. It was a series, as John Smith used to say, a series of new beginnings, but keeping Jesus as the captain. Maybe today we need to do an evaluation of the nets of our lives. Maybe an adjustment in strategy is necessary, but maybe we're just in the middle of some toil that will shape character and give us what we need down the road. No matter where you're at today, Bethel, it's been a difficult, I know some of you guys hate getting stuck inside. Dreary weather. I personally love the snow, but I know some of you guys hate getting stuck inside. No matter how difficult of a season of life you're in right now, morning's coming, and Jesus will meet you there by the shore. God help us to follow you, love you, and God help us to let you manage us. God bless you, Bethel. I'm praying for you. Pray for our pastor as he's sick and away from us, and we'll see you very soon. God bless you.